Hi, this is Irina Cronin. I'm the CEO of Infinite Retina, and I have with me the Chief Strategy Officer, Robert Scoble.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
Definitely. This is our first podcast, and along with the first podcast, we'd like to introduce our company, Infinite Retina. So, Infinite Retina is a spatial computing agency. And I'll explain to you both of those terms, spatial computing and what we mean by agency in a moment. So first of all, we're launching as of March 4th, and we have an amazing team that we've put together that does all kinds of different things like PR and media and actually building AR and VR experiences. With regard to spatial computing, you might ask yourself, what does that mean? It's not a term that we've invented. It's been around for quite a while, but the way that we're looking at it, it includes every technology, every piece of software, any app that you would need to be able to move around in a digital 3D world. And that's really applicable to what's happening right now. So we've had virtual reality that is developing, augmented reality, which is highly emergent. And along with those pieces of technology and software, we have artificial intelligence that pulls it together and enables you to interact better and personalize your experience. And with artificial intelligence, that includes machine learning, also aspects of computer vision and natural language processing. So you put those three things together along with other types of technology, and you get spatial computing. You get the capability of being able to move around in your 3D world. So I've been in this business now, which has been called immersive, but that's now being relegated to more of a cinematic experience.
Yeah, we can talk about why.
For the last 4 years. And Robert has been doing technology for even longer than that in other areas. Can you tell us what you've been doing?
Well, I've been studying the startup world for decades since I was 13 years old, and I got a tour of Apple Computer in 1977. But I was the first one to see Siri. I was the first one to see Flipboard outside of their company. I was the 79th user of Instagram. I was there literally when Uber was invented in a snowstorm in Paris. It was invented right in front of me. And on and on. I've done thousands and thousands of interviews. And heck, just go back to when I worked at Microsoft as a strategist. I interviewed 600 employees from Bill Gates to the janitor then. That was a decade ago now. So a lot of fun stuff. But I've been seeing the spatial computing world coming since then. I mean, Andy Wilson at Microsoft Research showed me how gestures worked back, 12 years ago, and how augmented reality would change the world. And we're just seeing that vision come true 12 years later, right?
Yeah, and I mean, it's really building very fast right now. The last couple of years, obviously, a lot of R&D, a lot of trying to get consumers to adapt headsets that probably aren't at the top of the game, but will be. Our company, Infinite Retina, is not focusing on the consumer market because we think that's going to take a little more time. Where we see things ripe right now is in the enterprise area. So B2B and companies out there that are Fortune 500 companies that need to have experiences built, that need to understand what spatial computing is so that they can increase the profitability and productivity of their company. We also see entrepreneurs entering this area a lot, and most of the time, they really don't understand the industry, and it's not their fault because there's very little out there to inform them as to which areas they should go into, how to set up a company, even how to get money for spatial computing, the infrastructure of their company, how to get talent. It's extremely hard to find the relevant people, and it's through word of mouth and social media, so it's extremely difficult. So these are the type of things that Infinite Retina was formed to help both the companies and entrepreneurs understand the industry better, get a strategy, get funding, get talent, get PR, hire the right lawyers, all because in spatial right now, these particular areas are quite different when you approach them than the traditional type of industries.
Yeah, we should talk about that. You know, for the last 15 months, we've been doing a lot of work and studying the industry. I've built databases of thousands of people and thousands of companies in this space, and we've started splitting them apart into little areas, like people who do location-based entertainment, for instance. That's a topic that we've been talking about in preparation for this. We've been visiting companies like The Void and Dreamscape all over the country to see what is happening in this new world and understand it. But I've been visiting factories all over the United States and in Germany to understand how companies like Audi or Tesla are using augmented reality and how they might use it in the future. And yeah, so we should just have a little chat about where we see the industry going, because we sort of built a new thesis, haven't we?
Yes, well, extremely recently, Microsoft announced the HoloLens 2, and I hope that everybody was able to watch the presentation because it was really, really awesome. If you're just reading tech specs and what reporters write about it, the effect of how useful it will be is lost. So you'd have to see visually what it does. Just as a point across the board for spatial computing, actually experiencing or seeing something visual, you will get it. If you're just reading words on a paper, someone describing what it is, it does not have the same impact.
And I have one of the first HoloLenses here, and I've been using it for more than a year now. And what really changed with the new HoloLens is the optics got a little bit better, so now you can see images more clearly and with a little bit wider field of view, which is gives you a little bit more immersion or the ability to see virtual objects better without having to look across them with your glasses. The 3D sensor is much better, and they showed that off by playing a piano in the air with your fingers. So the 3D sensors see your fingers and can use that sight or that artificial intelligence that's going to look at your fingers and understand what you're trying to do, to do new kinds of control surfaces. Think about running an oil refinery and having virtual valves or virtual switches on that refinery pipe, which you can touch with your fingers and virtually adjust. So it's a crazy world. The heaviness has not been changed yet. That's why this is not yet for consumers. It's more than a pound heavy still with the HoloLens 2. And that's it's not a pair of Ray-Bans. And that's what it's going to take to get this stuff really into a mass market consumer world. But people who run at oil refineries or do manufacturing work or do training simulations, wearing a pound on your head is not a problem. And paying the $3,500 price that this HoloLens 2 is selling for is also not a problem for those specialized enterprise uses.
Well, talking about the price of $3,500, so they actually have a deal where you could put down $125 a month, which I think is fantastic. A lot of people pay that for their cell phone. So I think that's a good thing that they did for people, even for smaller businesses. In terms of the heaviness, it is still a pound plus, but all the headsets out there are basically that, except the ones that actually don't have a lot of capability.
Google Glass, for instance, right?
That's definitely, I don't want to talk about how we view those types of things here, because we're now entering a new world that actually we can have more features and capability when it comes to augmented reality.
Well,
I want to talk about the heaviness. So, So the weight is really important. However, the way it fits on your head, the form feature has been greatly improved. I think with the HoloLens, when I first tried it, it kept edging off from the back of my head onto my nose. And that's really difficult when you're trying to focus on doing something and it keeps slipping. So obviously I'm not the only one that had that issue, and they have fixed it so that now it's balanced off of your head completely, and you could put it on like a cap. And it also has the lenses that you could lift so that you could have a view and put them back down when you want to use them again.
Yeah, I think that's the most important.
It's really cool.
Because when you're in augmented reality, you're not using it for very much, right? Even at an oil refinery use case, you're going to walk along the pipes, maybe tag a few things virtually, and then you're going to walk away from the pipes, and you're going to want to lift that up so you can walk around the real world. And having that lift, that hinge, is really a cool feature. Because one thing I notice when I'm playing with or using a HoloLens, the first version, is I'm always taking it off and putting it on to try different things or adjust software or do a new scan of the room, and then I have to go back to the computer to clean it up, and then I have to go back to the HoloLens to see how it's cleaned up. Developers are going to really love that hinge to be able to put it on and off and get back to the real world. Also, doing something like what we're doing right now, we're looking at each other. Why do we need to see holograms about each other? No, we don't. So if we were playing, if we weren't recording this, we would fold it up to look at each other and talk to each other. And then when we're ready to go back to work in the virtual world, we can flip it down and see the virtual world.
Yeah, I mean, it's great for collaboration when you have people working together in the same place, obviously. So it's not only for factories, it's for any kind of business where you have a group of people that have to interact with each other and also with objects. So fulfillment center, like an Amazon fulfillment center. I could see that most of the big businesses in America do have tasks that this would be really great to help. And it's a tremendous amount of business. So I'm really, really excited about the HoloLens 2. So I want to talk a little bit about more in terms of the future of where spatial computing is going. We have a thesis that by this time next year, possibly the latest going into 2021, there are going to be a number of headsets that will be hitting the market. And they won't be called headsets. Perhaps they'll be called glasses. There's a whole lot of chiming in of people saying that maybe it's going to have AR and VR capability. It's just going to be AR. Who those companies are going to be that come in. But it's coming really fast. We're now March 2019. And so anyone that's going to be coming, any company that's going to be coming out with a product has been working on this stuff for years. There are some that I know about that I can't talk about that I know are developing them. I can tell you that by 2021, there are going to be at least five huge companies that are going to come out with AR glasses, and then some more. So the competition is going to be awesome. And I also do believe, and I think Robert does, that the HoloLens 2, this thing with Enterprise, is they're entering the market. They see where the possibilities are given the pricing of the headset and other features that are currently available that can be updated in the future. They're seeing that Enterprise will be able to accept the level of features and more that the HoloLens 2 does. So it's very, very smart. But our theory is that over the next couple of years, and probably before this as well, they are working on a consumer version that's lighter and cheaper, and it just needs more time to develop.
Yeah. I think we shouldn't forget about virtual reality either.
Oh, yeah.
Because while Oculus Quest seems like it's marketed towards gamers, and that's true because that's where probably their biggest market is going to be. Companies like we just interviewed Virtualytics, which is doing visualizations for businesses.
So I love Virtualytics.
Yeah, it's a really interesting company. Just got $11 million of funding to get started. And they're building an AI that ingests data from your business, finds patterns in that data, and then builds visualizations that you can walk around with in either augmented reality or virtual reality. But most of the people who are going to use that system can't afford a $3,500 HoloLens. It's hard to get funded for a team of four or five people who are going to work together on new data to go buy all buy HoloLenses. But this year, Oculus Quest is coming along that costs $400 a piece. And you can probably buy 10 of those on somebody's corporate card, right? And not have to bar the boss too much. I mean, I bought a $6,000 camera at Rackspace and I didn't get in trouble, right?
Well, it was relevant,
yeah. But you know, you can ask for forgiveness on that kind of purchase and not ask for permission. But if you start spending $20,000 to do your work group, that you need, first of all, your credit cards won't work on a purchase that big. So you have to go to the boss and get some permission and sell it, you know, and go through all the meetings to acquire the equipment. But Oculus Quest is coming this year, and it's really an interesting product. I think this is really a pivot point for the industry. And here's why. I mean, you're sitting in front of my Oculus here, right? And the Oculus has... The old Oculus Rift has wires down to a big PC with a big NVIDIA card in it. And you need a room like the one we're sitting in to use it. And that all of that is a retardant on adoption, right?
Even for heavy technologists, it is. It doesn't seem to be up to date for some reason.
Yeah. Well, it you know, if you think about running a work group with 10 people, now all of a sudden you have to have 10 rooms to put everybody into a VR headset. That's really hard to swallow, right? But Oculus Quest is coming and gives you 6 degrees of freedom, which means you can move around in a virtual world, which it means it's spatial computing. And it costs $200, or it's $400, sorry.
Excuse me, I want the $200 version. That would be great.
They have Oculus Go, which is...
No. Oculus Go does not compare to the Oculus Quest, but I think $400 for what it provides. I mean, I believe that the festival and conference circuit, they're using now Oculus Rift and HTC Vive. It's such an easy guess to say that they will now use Oculus Quest.
You brought up a whole new market, different market, right? These festivals like Sundance or Tribeca. If you want to go and demo VR at them, or like I was in Marissa Meyer's backyard demonstrating VR to the young global leaders, you know, and doing that is a real pain in the butt, because if you have two VR machines side by side, the sensors that are spraying light on you start conflicting. And so now you have to have black pipe and drape between the two settings. It's expensive, it's nerdy, it's hard to set up right, and it has a lot of problems. But these Oculus Quests, you can carry 10 of them in a backpack and hand them out, and boom, you don't need sensors, you don't need to worry about conflicts, and they're going to be introducing software, I think, at GDC or later this year at the Facebook F8 conference that they just announced, that will let you do multi-party gaming, which will be quite fun for the gaming part. But if you can do multi-party gaming, now companies like Spatial can do multi-party collaboration. So think about being at Ford and wanting to design a new car. You can have 10 people all wearing VR headsets around a virtual car and talking about the car and having people actually changing the car in real time. Collaboratively, which is really, really amazing, and it's going to mean that this kind of technology is going to move into the corporation pretty quickly from here.
I believe that is the case. And I love the idea that there's a choice between something like the HoloLens 2 and the Oculus Quest for companies, corporations that need to build things, that need to communicate with each other, that need to do a retail fulfillment. So the HoloLens 2 does it in a certain way that gives you field of view in front of you with augmented reality. And if you need a deeper dive to be able to create a new car, let's say, with a team, all of you can be in there and view the same thing together. And in terms of the companies that we were mentioning earlier with Virtualytics, the interview that we did, they are a fantastic company that has a product where you can actually walk into the data set. So it's a three-dimensionalized XYZ access of the data. And there's so many things that you could do. And you imagine what that feels like if you have an Oculus Quest going in and seeing that. And wanted to mention that the team there, most of them come from Caltech and they have PhDs. They do computer vision and they're great at machine learning and other types of AI. We want to let you know that there are a couple of other videos that we have up online for you to see on YouTube and also on our website, Robert.
Well, there's three big things that are happening this year. One just happened with the HoloLens 2 announcement. The second big one that I'm expecting is Niantic's introduction of Harry Potter later this year, which will be mobile-based VR gaming. So if you've played Pokemon Go, Niantic is the company underneath Pokemon Go. So when you are playing Pokemon Go, you're actually playing on Niantic servers and Niantic's technology and playing with the Pokemon, which is owned by Nintendo, right?
the Pokemon people.
So Harry Potter is coming out later this year, and Niantic, in the past 15 months, bought a company called Escher Reality, which was building a new SLAM map. And we call SLAM maps now AR clouds, but AR clouds are a way for the system to see the real world and then build a polygon mesh on top of that world and then put data on top of that, right? In this case, Harry Potter is going to be walking down the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Right? We interviewed the head of AR research at Niantic who came from founding Escher Reality. So I interviewed him before he was at Niantic, and now we caught up with him to get his vision of where these technologies are going to go. And he really did take us into his brain and where he thinks this new mirror world is coming along. And we're real excited by seeing his work in Harry Potter. And you can get a taste of what might be coming by listening to that interview. The other part, the third thing that I think is big this year is Oculus Quest, which we just talked about. And that leads into next year, the 2020s. Where we're going to start seeing glasses and start seeing sharper VR.
Virtual characters.
Oh, well, the third video, yeah. Well, once you
that
get
has to do with all this.
Once you start getting all this fantastic technology, whether it's a 3D sensor on your iPhone or an AR kit on your iPhone, you're going to start wanting to interact with virtual characters. Magic Leap has been talking about this Mika character and showing it off at film festivals, or her off. It's hard to say a polygon mesh has a gender, but the polygon mesh looks like a woman.
It's
a capability. Yeah. So, which is always fun. You know, it's fun to talk about the development of these virtual characters. But Armando and Ryan over at Arty talked to me about their virtual characters that are coming this summer. Now, the first characters they're showing are pretty rudimentary characters, but you can talk to them and they follow you. They look at you, right? So no matter where you're looking, they're looking at you the same way you're looking at me right now. Like, what are you talking about, Scubble?
And I'm following you.
Your eyes are following me, right? And their virtual characters do the same things. Now, what's really going on here is they're bootstrapping into a platform 2, 3, 4 years from now, where you're going to be able to build really complex virtual characters. But the first ones that are coming out this year are for movie companies. So think of a Spider-Man sort of character that's on your phone that can talk to you for a couple minutes and ask you questions and, you know, and have a conversation with you using AI and using these new techniques of looking at you and stuff like that. Pretty fun stuff. Would be fun to take a selfie with them on your mobile phone this summer. But the real work that's going on is still coming, right?
Right.
We're all dreaming of talking to a virtual assistant like a Siri or an Alexa, but not one that's stupid. I mean, we've been trying to use Siri all week.
Forget Siri.
And, you know, when she works, she's amazing, right?
Yeah.
But when she doesn't work, it pisses you off. And the NLP that's coming is much, much better. You're getting taste of that with Google Home and Google Assistant, how good the voice recognition is now. I mean, when I worked at Microsoft, I remember meeting Kai-Fu Lee, who's now a famous VC in China. But he ran the NLP group there. And back then, we would have error rates of 7%. So every 10 words you would say, three would be bad. And now the error rates are getting like 99% or even 100%, right? Particularly with the Google Assistant. And not 100%, but pretty high where you can have a conversation almost with these things. And that's quite exciting to think about when we're going to have entertainment that we can move around and touch and talk to and that will hand us things and show us things and entertain us in a whole new way. And it's not human, right? You're talking to a machine.
Well, in the future, the vision is that you'll be able to save that character and every kind of conversation that you've had with them, and they will get to know your preferences really well. So it'll be your friend that you could pull up whenever you want. And every time you talk to them, they'll know even more about you and understand you better. So within a few years, there's a person that will be with you when you need them. And that's really interesting. So I had a pretty long conversation with Ryan Horrigan from Arty talking about the connections to the virtual reality characters that a person will develop. In the beginning, as Robert said, it's not exactly true to life, right? It seems to be scripted, even though it's machine learning, because we're still in an age, and when I say an age, I'm saying a year or two, where the virtual characters can't be as true to life as real people yet. And we're talking about the way they look. We're talking about the facial expressions and the emotionality that you could see in their faces, the appropriate kinds of cues that they would have. Also, the kind of language that would fit with the physicality of that appropriate kind of physicality. That is not ready yet. But Mika... they're kind of jumping in different directions. Mika, they want it to be as true to life. So there's kind of two different camps in the virtual character world.
There's this third company called Fable.
Right. So Fable is trying to do a little bit more like what Mika is doing. It, even though it's animated, it's more trying to be more true to life than what some other companies are doing.
And it's sort of fun to talk about these things because very few people have actually experienced these things, right?
Right.
Only insiders who know, who have been pulled in, or journalists maybe, have actually gotten to experience talking to a character in a virtual set, you know? And it's pretty crazy.
Well, our prediction is over the next year, it's not only going to be a couple of choice people, but it's going to be ubiquitous, just like bots, but they're going to be loved. Bots are not loved.
I bet if people are listening this far, they're wondering, how did Robert Scoville and Irina Cronin get together and what the heck is going on here? Because my life has had quite a crazy past, but... how did we get together? I've met you on Facebook. You've been running so many communities on Facebook, and that And I just found that you're passionate about the same things I am, which is this new world of spatial computing and augmented reality and virtual reality.
Okay, so it's clear when people share the same kinds of interests, even though it's in the digital world, it comes across really quickly. If you have a lot of energy talking about a certain tech piece of tech, if you're there quite often. So I tend to not sleep very much because I'm both working, doing projects, and I'm also keeping up with what's going on, both on the phone and video conferencing, as well as social media. So I think it's really easy to say that we just connected because I had a Facebook group that I was growing, and I was just on it all the time. And it really, really, really helped me understand the industry better, get to know as many people that I do know now. So our relationships, we have hundreds of people that we know in the industry, and even more in the wider tech industry. So yeah, the connections that we have are very deep, and our understanding of the technology, as well as the ramifications of what that technology will bring, I think is unique. So let me just, let's wrap this up. Want to mention that in addition to our podcast, which we're planning to have it, one a week, we are also going to have a newsletter that we're working on that will disseminate via email. It will also be available online on our website. We are putting together very diligently databases that will cut across all the relevant categories and areas for spatial computing, databases of people in particular areas and industry verticals, databases of companies in those verticals. And when I say databases, it's not only names, it's email addresses, phone numbers, relevant information. VCs in the world, in the spatial computing, it's very hard to tell right now who's doing what with VCs with spatial. So we have our fingers in there. We can tell you who those relevant people are. Along those lines for all the databases. So it takes a while to build that. We're doing it. Along with the databases, we are also putting together monthly, quarterly, and annual reports that are both industry top level reports and that go into more detail in particular areas like location based. Also talk about particular types of hardware and software apps that are applicable for business enterprise use. Robert?
Yeah. I think you wrapped it up great. I mean, we could go for hours.
Obsessed and immersed in this.
Well, I mean, we'll do lots of podcasts on verticals like medical. We're planning a whole series of video interviews to learn about these newer industries and how they're using spatial computing. And this industry is moving so fast at this point that literally every week something new comes out and a new prototype gets shown or a new thing gets talked about. South by Southwest is this week, for instance, and we're going to see a bunch of new things come out of that. So it's quite exciting. I think we should wrap it up and say go to infiniteretina.com for more.
Yes, and I just want to mention that even though there's a lot of news on what's coming out in spatial every week, there's something new. There's so much more that isn't being talked about because it's either being built privately or the companies don't want to talk about it yet. We have the inside word on what these companies are doing. We can't always say specifically what we're doing, but we can help people understand what the industry landscape really is.
Yeah, you just reminded me to wrap it up, that the videos that we're doing and the work we're doing is going to focus on the business imperatives underneath these companies. And we're going to really dig in with the entrepreneurs on understanding their businesses, because part of our thesis is there's going to be a lot more new businesses coming into this space.
Yes.
Over the next 5 to 10 years. And we want to help build a database and build the relationships with people to understand who is funding, why are they funding, what is their thesis, and how to go and build your business.
Great. That's a wrap.